Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I got five on it. All right, we're here. It's VT night. We're invading Blacksburg. I can't wait to play these Hokies. Yes, this year has not went the way we wanted to, but we're here and we're now and we're in Blacksburg for a night game on Thursday Night Football, old school Big East Field. It's JN Fiend. I'm here with my brother,
Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I also hate Pitt, and throw Virginia Tech in there, too.
And, man, we got five on it. Jordan, I can't wait for these questions.
Welcome back, RVK Nation, to another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan Tycuri, and let's get things kicked off with the first blank. Our loss to Kansas is blank by them being 3-0.
Our loss to Kansas is unchanged by them being 3-0. Now, yes, it may sting less, but the loss is still a loss. And the thing is, it makes us look better in the moment because Kansas is 3-0, so that means they don't stink. But conversely, it makes us look bad in the long term because how is Neil Brown's team in the fourth year worse than Lance Leopold's team in his second year? So it's unchanged in my book.
It's unaffected. That's the way I feel. Unaffected by them being 3-0. I don't care if they were 3-0. I don't care if they were 17-0. I care that we had a chance to win the game and stupid mental mistakes. The personal foul in overtime, which now gave them, instead of a long field goal, ended up being a touchdown, we lose. There's a bunch of other stuff in that game that we could bring up. I don't mind losing to a better team. But when we are in a position where we could win, more importantly, should win, because before that penalty, they'd have been kicking a long field goal, we could have scored a touchdown, game over. When you lose games, you should win. So here's the thing. 3-0, I don't care. I'm unaffected by it.
Number two. If Neil Brown wins against Virginia Tech, it'll mean blank.
Very little. It will mean very little other than that he did his job. His job is to win football games, Jeremy. Am I wrong?
You're right.
His job is to win football games, so it will mean very little. His job is to win the games he's supposed to win, especially. We're 1.5-point favorites as of Wednesday, 2022, September the 21st. I said that date very awkwardly, but I still got it out. 1.5-point favorites going into Blacksburg on the road, a team that lost to Old Dominion and Allie Jennings. Shout to Allie Jennings, former Mountaineer. His job is to win the game. It will mean very little. He's supposed to win. Go get the win, Neil.
It'll be a slight boost. You know what I mean? Slight boost. It gives you a little bit of breathing room. If you win tonight against Virginia Tech, it'll calm down the hounds. It'll calm down just a little bit. Now, granted, we're favorites. It is a rivalry game. It is in Blacksburg. It is a night game. So anything could happen. But you buy yourself just a little bit more time. Not a lot. This is not like a extra life. No. This is a little bit of health on your bar if you're familiar with playing video games. It just boosts your health bar just a little bit more. Not a whole lot. It gives you a little bit of space. So it'll mean something, but not a whole lot.
Number three, if Neil Brown loses tonight, it'll mean blank.
This is the end. That's a throwback to that P. Diddy and the Fam. It will mean that this is the end for Neil Brown. It will mean that Monty Burns has released the hound. It will mean that so many early naysayers were right. And it'll mean that the climb is over. It will be the end of Neil Brown's tenure, symbolically, because they won't fire him immediately. But you lose as a favorite to your second rival of the year, it will be over for Neil Brown's tenure in Morgantown.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the heck up out of here. You lose against Virginia Tech. You go 1-3, losing to two rivals, losing the Black Diamond Trophy, and losing to Kansas in year four. After none of those years, as you 1 year you went 6-4. The other one was 5-7. The other one was 6-7. Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. This is it. This is it. You better win. And if you win, I hope you win. And I'll be happy and I can rejoice because I'm a Mountaineer fan. And I'll listen to none of these people trying to hate telling me when and when I can't enjoy my team. Okay? This is it.
Number four. The criticism of the football players on this year's team is blank.
Fair. Listen, we talk all the time about how amateurism is dead because of NIL. We talk about how amateurism is dead because of the full ride scholarships and all that encompasses. We talk about how amateurism is dead because of how it's treated and the money that is generated and how the players can now participate in that pot. It's fair. This is big boy football. So put your big boy pants on and deal with it. And I say that not because I want players bashed or berated, disrespected in any way, but I think it's fair to call in question the way that they play. It's going to happen at any major important university with fans that care. So it's going to happen at WVU. And I'm 100% okay with it, as long as it's not personal and disrespectful. And as long as it's not bashing. So it's fair.
So, yeah, criticism of the football players, it's okay. I'm sorry, that's my word, okay. I'm not saying bashing, but criticism is fair. Like you said, this is not junior high. This is not high school. You decided to go to a big-time Power 5 program to play ball. So, in the off-season, when you're signing signatures and you're kissing babies and your face is over everything and you're doing commercials maybe, or you have chances to, you know, really get out in the community and get your name known, if you're not playing well, it's okay for people to say, hey, look, you're not playing well. I think anybody at any job, and I think we've pretty much established college football, maybe it's not a job where everybody gets paid, but it's moving towards that. And you went to a Power 5 program, so you knew what it meant. You've watched games, you've seen the crowd, you know what it is. I'm not talking disrespect. But like I've said before, if you can't catch the ball, I'm allowed to say you can't catch the ball. If you can't make a play, I'm going to say you can't make a play. Because that's what happens. And that's how it works. Especially at a passionate fan base like West Virginia. Now, coaches are different. Go all the way in. Don't be disrespectful, but go all the way in. But players, I'm allowed to be, like I said, if you're making mistakes, I'm going to say you're making mistakes.
Number five. C.J. Donaldson, not winning Offensive Player of the Week for WVU, is blank.
Par for the course. It is par for the course that Neil Brown sees a young player do something spectacular, and he rewards the veteran out of solidarity, out of loyalty, out of a misguided perspective on how to maintain a roster. C.J. Donaldson, anybody who has eyes saw that he was not only the best running back, but he was the best player in the game on last Saturday. Not because JT Daniels isn't great, not because Bryce Ford Wheaton isn't great, not because Caden Prather didn't have an excellent game, but because C.J. Donaldson balled out. Not just the 82-yard run, but just his toughness. Just because he is a guy. He's him at the moment. And yet somehow Mathis was the player of the game, the offensive player of the game? Really? Anybody who has eyes knows that T.J. Donaldson's better than Tony Mathis. We know that. If I know that and I'm not watching the All-22, how does Neil Brown not know that? He knows, Jeremy. He knows. but it's par for the course. It's the same reason Jared Dagey played for as long as he did when Jared Dagey couldn't get a G5 starting job when he left WVU. I'm sorry, but this is just par for the course.
Yeah, I think it is, and I hope it is. I hope it's recruiting. I know you want C.J. Donaldson to stay, but I think he knows his spot as number one running back over the next few years as West Virginia's future is solidified. The thing is, in college football and pro football, and football anywhere you go, you need more than one running back most of the time. You need Mathis or some kind of backup running back who can at least split carries. I don't call him backup. I'll say somebody to split carries or split because they can't play every single player. What happens if he gets hurt? I honestly feel like this is recruiting. I think they're saying, hey, Tony Mathis, hey, we really need you here. You're really important to us. We love you. C.J. Donaldson doesn't need to know that because the whole world is going on and on about C.J. Donaldson. So I think this is a little bit of, I hope it's a little bit of recruiting saying, hey, let's keep Mathis here. Let's make him feel good. Let's make him feel wanted. C.J. Donaldson isn't going anywhere. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying hopefully they're thinking, maybe they know more than I do because I will really be perturbed. But anyway, that's for another show. That's for another show. I think this particularly is recruiting to keep Mathis here. But there you have it. Five questions, five answers. We gave it to you. Now, this is Thursday. The Black Diamond Trophy is tonight. It's tonight. And as much as I feel let down by the year so far, trust me, we're going in next segment about it all, about Kansas, about this year, about Neil Brown, about JT Daniels, about Nico looking decent against Kansas or good against Kansas. Like, we're going to talk about
you
it
mean
all.
Towson?
Yeah, my bad. Towson. We're going in next segment, so get ready. Buckle up, because we going in.
Rack me, boys!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Boom. Bosco's Boys is here. I think we all wanted it. And the marriage is officially official. I'm so pumped to bring my show to the 1012 Network, Bosco's Boys, the most consistent K-State podcast out there. Over 4 years with at least one episode a week. Bringing live shows to the listeners and to the participants every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm pumped to be here and I would love it if you guys came over to Bosco's Boys and gave us a listen. Because we are not Big J Journos. This is a podcast by a fan and his dog for fellow K-State and Big 12 fans. And I can't wait to chop it up with all the members and fans of the 1012 Network.
Rack me, boys!
I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
It's time to go in. It's Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt. And I'm with Jeremy J.N. Fiend Phoenix. We are the Raspy Voice Kids. This is the final segment of this podcast episode of the RVK. We are talking about what's really good.
Yep.
Not just about the Mountaineers. We are talking about what's going on around the world of football, college football, the NFL. But we're going to start with the Kansas game, even though that's two games ago. We're going to talk a little bit about what people are saying now that Kansas is 3-0.
I was going to say, the reason why we're talking about this, I know it's a game ago. We should be talking about Towson the whole time. No. I've seen so many tweets. I would love to shout the people out who tweeted this. But I've seen, Kansas loss doesn't look so bad now. Somebody else, after Houston lost to Kansas, said, Dana Holgorsen needs fired after losing to Kansas. Brandon, does this do anything for you? Does this change your perspective in any way?
Dana Holgorsen won his only game of the year in overtime to UTSA. Dana Holgorsen lost in overtime to Texas Tech. Then he lost significantly to Kansas. He's not having a great year, regardless of the fact that he lost to Kansas. It does nothing for me. Dana's not a great coach. We know that. He's a brilliant offensive mind, but to put a level, to measure ourselves against Dana is a very bad look. It's stupid.
I think it's so hilarious. Well, Dana lost it. Well, first of all, Houston is losing to all the Big 12 teams. The second thing is, oh, he needs fired. No, you know what the difference is? Dana had like a 9-win season, 8-win season.
10-win season.
He won some bowl games.
10-win season.
To go back to Sesame Street, these two things are not the same. I know you want to think that Neil Brown is doing just the same as Dana Holgorsen. He's not. Dana Holgorsen won more games. I know some of it was in the Big East, but he was more competitive. He had big wins. The Texas win at the last second with Will Grier going 8-4. We haven't even got close to 8 wins. 6 wins is the most we've had. So don't play yourself. And I see that stuff and I just laugh. It's just like people want to make excuses for everything. Kansas doesn't feel so bad. If you're going to make excuses, you can make excuses for everything. All I know is that we don't have a D1 win yet this year.
No, and I'm not hating. Win. FBS.
FBS. Okay. We don't have an FBS win this year. That being said, the Townsend game, there were some things there that I liked. I don't think you're going to learn a whole lot, but Brandon, one of the things I liked from the Townsend game, and you can get into things that you liked or disliked, our quarterbacks actually look good. I think they put him in positions to excel, whether it was Garrett Green running, a little bit more of that pass run option. And then you have Nico. Brandon, did you see that pass Nico threw?
I did. It was beautiful.
On time, on target. That was a beautiful ball out in front. Left-handed, looked a little weird, had me a little weirded out, but it was beautiful. And I know, but I don't care who he was playing. I don't care who he was playing. That ball placement was absolutely perfect and would have been a touchdown against anybody he was playing based off the position of the pass. That really, like, that jolted me. That gave me some, you know, a little bit of excitement. You never know where people are going to go. Like, they're here this year, or they'll be here next year. You never know. That's one of the things from the Townsend game I really, just made me feel good.
Yeah, the offense was dominant. The offense was successful on all of their drives, essentially. And all of the quarterbacks were successful on their drives, essentially. I was proud of what the offense did. The offensive line had moments, though, where they were not dominant against Towson. Now, Towson does have an NFL lineman, defensive lineman, on their squad. That said, there were still moments of miscommunication. There were still moments where JT Daniels got touched. There were still moments where we were not dominant on the offensive line. And I blame Matt Moore. And I'm really worried going into Virginia Tech that we're going to struggle against a really good defensive line. Virginia Tech's defense ranks in the top 5 in almost every serious, important category defensively. They've got edge rushers that are really good.
And I'm worried. And I'm not hating on you. I just want to say this for people at home who may be thinking this. They have played a super Charmin soft schedule. But go ahead.
They've played a super Charmin soft schedule. But do you know the only offensive lineman we have that has a PFF grade higher, or that's Pro Football Focus grade higher than 70 on the team?
Who?
Doug Nestor. And his is 71 point something.
Ooh, so, that's not good at all.
No, that's not good at all. Our offensive line has underachieved, and I blame Matt Moore.
You did. And he kept going on and on. Brandon was real when he said Matt Moore, and he kept saying it. In the first game, I was like, no, because we put up these rushing yards. No, Brandon, you're right. And I was wrong. I think you're wrong about Virginia Tech's defense only because the first game they played ODU. Then they played Boston College, who's hot trash. Then they played Wofford. So I don't think we can really know a whole lot about Virginia Tech's defense yet.
No, I agree, Jeremy, but what we do know is they did what they were supposed to do against their opponents defensively.
Brandon, we need to do a segment.
If you're playing hot trash, you make them look like hot trash. Had the nerve to say that I didn't play nobody, I just made them look like nobody. Y'all must have forgot.
I was going to say something else. You made me totally forget what I was going to say because you had to throw in the Roy Jones Jr.
Well, that's one of the things I like about... No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That's one of the things I liked about the offense against Towson. We did what we were supposed to do. We made Towson look like they were supposed to look. Offensively, we went out and did whatever we wanted running the ball. We did whatever we wanted throwing the ball. We did our job. That's one of the things I like, and I credit Neil Brown, especially since he admitted that on Friday they took a peek ahead. Instead of preparing fully for Towson, they took a peek ahead and looked at Virginia Tech. Usually coaches won't admit that, but he did. So that tells you even though they weren't 100% focused, they were that good. They were that dominant. They were able to go out there and still perform. So,
and I like the fact that most of us Mountaineers who know West Virginia football, who've been around it, give Neil Brown no credit for that because he doesn't deserve any credit for beating Townsend like that. I know you executed the way you should have executed. Your defense played the way they should have played. Sorry, you get no credit for that. Your credit comes tonight. Win the game, and you can start building back trust. That's the way I feel, Brandon.
Trust the trust. That's what I'm worried about. I trust my eyes, Jeremy. And you know what else I saw in that Towson game? Something I didn't like?
Trust the proof.
You know what I didn't like in the Towson game? Something that nobody's talking about?
What?
Everybody points to the fact that we got a shutout defensively because we gave up a touchdown on a kickoff, but we gave up 0 points defensively. But do you know what I saw?
What?
Not on the stat sheet, but what I actually saw. Our secondary got torched. There were guys open all game long. Tyrell Pegram couldn't hit them. The backup quarterback couldn't hit them. There were guys open in the middle of the field. There were guys open down the field. The quarterbacks couldn't hit them. Grant Wells is going to hit those guys. Now, he's not great, but he threw the interceptions Grant Wells threw were in against Old Dominion the first game of the year. He's not thrown interceptions since. And on top of being able to throw, Grant Wells can run.
Brandon, what do you expect from this game? Let's get down to brass tacks. What do you expect from this game?
I expect a double-digit win. I expect the game to be a little closer than what it should be talent-wise because we are significantly more talented than them. But because of Lane Stadium, because of the Black Diamond Trophy, because of the rivalry, I think it'll be closer than what it should be. I think Neil wins the game 31-21.
Okay. I don't know. I asked that question. I wasn't ready to answer it myself.
We're averaging 46 points a game, so I think they slow us down a little. They're averaging 23 points a game, but I don't think their offense is that good. So I think 31-21, I think is a good score.
I hope for it. Our offense is good enough. Our defense has to be, Brandon. You gotta be chomping at the bit to get another chance.
Well, they run 12 personnel, two tight ends. They're going to try to big boy us a lot. And historically, West Virginia has struggled with the tight end.
And as hard as you can play, your talent is your talent. So, I think Virginia Tech puts up 17 points. I say 34-17, West Virginia. That, in my mind, is how it should happen. But because I'm a Mountaineer fan, I know it'll be stress Virginia, and we'll win 34-30.
So that's good enough for me because a win's a win. Get out of Blacksburg and go home. But it would be nice if we could blow them out like I think we're capable of heading into Texas.
So what do you think about the rest of the schedule? You want to talk about the NFL schedule or you want to talk about the college football schedule?
So you mean the schedule for this week?
This week's schedule, what's going on in football, period, whether it's NFL or college football. Which one?
Well, let's stay in the ACC if we're going to talk college football schedule. You've got Clemson and Wake Forest. 7.5-point spread. Clemson's favored by 7.5 points. That game kicks off.
How interested are you in that, though?
I'm interested from this standpoint.
Noon ABC, we got it.
Wake Forest is ranked 21. I think they're overrated. Clemson is ranked 5. I think they are grossly overrated. But one point Paul Feinbaum brought out that I think is true, if Clemson loses to Wake Forest, the ACC is out of the playoff. Which
this
I think
is true.
I think the Pac-12 is already out of the playoff. So I think if Clemson goes down, the ACC is out of the playoff regardless of what happens. because
Pac-12 can't be out. Pac-12 can't be out because USC is still ranked high. They're trying to rank all these other teams.
My bad.
And all these other teams that have already lost and got spanked, whether it's Oregon who got blew out or Utah who got beat by Florida, they're trying to keep them ranked high and move them up. Trust me, I'm watching the rankings. Trust me, they're trying to pad USC's stat, pad USC's way. But go ahead.
No, you made a great point. I left out USC. I think Oregon beats USC, but you're right.
Here's my thing about Clemson, Brandon. You can say what you want about Clemson's offense. Maybe Clemson's offense isn't top five. That defense is definitely top three. That defense is going to come to play. Wake Forest isn't known for their offense. I say Clemson wins. Nah, that defense is too real. I don't think Wake Forest is beating Clemson. That's just my opinion.
Then in the Big 12.
You got some other game. Oh, ooh.
In the Big 12, you've got Baylor and Iowa State. That's only a 2.5-point game, according to Vegas. Iowa State. Excuse me, is actually favored. And I just don't see Baylor losing.
I haven't seen enough of either one of the teams, Brandon. I'll be honest with you. Baylor last year was great. Iowa State always knows how to come up with a big win in the Big 12. Now, granted, this year they got it done with Iowa. But in the Big 12, they can always hang around and just get it done. Does Baylor lose two in a row? I don't really see it. I don't. Not two in a row, but two early games.
Another one.
There's also Maryland and Michigan, which only reason why I'm bringing this up is
I don't care about that.
How many cupcake games are you going to play Michigan? This is why I said, even if Michigan isn't any good, they're going to be top five all year. They don't play anybody. The first three games, they didn't play nobody. Literally, I'm going to tell you their schedule. Michigan, first game was Colorado State. Second game was Hawaii. Third game was Connecticut. Fourth game is Maryland. Then you get Iowa, garbage Indiana, and then you can, all right, then you have Penn State, Michigan State. Then you have three easy games. Rutgers, Nebraska. Michigan State's not any good, by the way. Who?
Michigan State's not any good. It's a rivalry game.
I don't think so either.
Rivalry game, but they're not any good.
But right after Michigan State, you have three super soft games. Rutgers, Nebraska, Illinois. Then you finish the year with Ohio State. So really, Michigan has three games this year. They might as well be a MAC team or Conference USA team or an American team. They play Penn State, Michigan State, if you want to count them, and Ohio State. Everybody else, Charmin soft. Listen to that. Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, now Maryland. So
I saw somebody on Twitter finally calling them out for it.
No, it's so soft. It's so soft. You do have a big one in the SEC, Florida and Tennessee. Rivalry game.
Yeah.
Brandon, that's old school. That's back to Peyton Manning days, rivalry.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. New coach for Florida. The quarterback at Florida had a great game against Utah, has done nothing since. Nothing. He's been terrible since. Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. That offense looks better. Tennessee's favored by 10.5. And it's in Knoxville. I think Tennessee gets it done.
I don't know if they get it done, but this is kind of stuff that you like because college football is about these old school rivalries. So Florida's number 20. Tennessee's number 11. Is Tennessee really the number 11 or not? I don't know. They are playing better, but this is what you love to see. 3:30 game, CBS, old school. I want to see who's real and who's not. It doesn't matter. Neither one of these teams are emerging from the SEC or even coming close. But I don't know. It's just a fun game.
What about
give me
Texas,
another one?
What about Texas and Texas Tech? That's only a 6.5-point game with Texas favored, even though they're on the road in Lubbock.
I think it'll be a good game.
Texas is playing with a backup quarterback who's hobbled by an ankle. The rivalry is real, even though Texas won't admit it, especially since Chris Beard went to Texas. The tortillas will be flying. Shout out to our guys over at Tortillas and Take. Love them. Part of the 1012 network. And I'm rooting for Texas Tech. Got to be honest.
Root for Texas Tech. Texas Tech had problems with Houston. I think Texas' talent. I know Quinn Ewers is not starting right now. But don't get it twisted. He was the number one quarterback coming out of high school. Their running back is the number one running back going in the NFL draft. Therefore, you have potentially one of the best quarterbacks in the country and one of the best running backs. Now, granted, I know Quinn Ewers is out. I'm just saying they're amassing talent there at Texas.
Yeah, they have the most talent in the Big 12, even more than Oklahoma. There's no excuse for them to be where they are.
I think Texas wins that game. I'm looking down through the schedule right now. You got
So then the next game I was interested in is Arkansas and Texas A&M.
Yes, please Arkansas beat them. Now, here's the thing. Arkansas
A&M's favored, though. Arkansas, but I think A&M's overrated. They have no business being ranked. I think Arkansas wins.
Arkansas, I'm not giving you my 2 cents who I think wins. I'm just telling you, Arkansas plays an old school Big Ten style football. Texas A&M is starting to get a lot of talent. They really are under Jimbo Fisher. So when them guys decide to show up and play and be buckled in, they can be a problem. When Alabama plays Texas A&M, it's going to be a game because those kids will be more buckled up than they've ever been. This is Texas A&M's first early game test. I expect them to be ready to play. I expect them to win, me personally.
I don't agree, Jeremy. They played Miami.
That's true. They got it from Miami. Miami, all right, that's true. I forgot they played Miami.
Yeah, like I
first I think SEC test. And it's a top 10 game. They've dropped one already. I expect Texas A&M to come out and handle business. I really do.
Do you think they win?
Yeah, I do.
If it wasn't in College Station, I would guarantee a win by Arkansas. But because it's not, I think it'll be a game. But I still think Arkansas wins.
Whiskey, Ohio State.
Ohio State wins that game.
Easily. Wisconsin can never throw the ball. I mean, ever. You could put Tom Brady on Wisconsin's team, and they still will figure out how not to throw the ball. And you can't beat Ohio State unless you throw the ball or your Oregon last year and have a dynamic running quarterback who can do the double and triple option or whatever, you know, to get loose.
Kansas State, Oklahoma at 8 o'clock on Fox. Kansas State always plays Oklahoma close these last 5 years or so.
No way in the world. Brent Venables has Oklahoma playing inspired, no letdown football. And Kansas State just did a choke job last year.
Guess what the spread is?
I see it. 13.
By the way, a great joke by Evan Hebert from Between Two Bears, another 10-12 podcast. He was like, Kansas State just lost to the worst kind of highway.
What's that?
Tulane. yeah. So we'll see. Got to keep an eye on Oklahoma, Kansas State. I'm sorry. You do. USC gets Oregon State. They are only favored by 6.5 in that game. They have to go to Corvallis. We will see what happens up there in the Pacific Northwest.
I am shocked they didn't try to rank Oregon State for being 3-0. Usually they try to rank teams like this to like hype up the game. I don't think it's going to be a game. Granted, USC's number 7. They beat Rice. They beat Stanford. They beat Fresno State. And as I mentioned, these whack teams, they don't play anybody till they get to maybe Washington State and Utah.
Yeah, that's all I have for college football, though.
I have one more little tiny thing I just wanted to say really quickly. These are the kind of games that you can call me a hater if you want to, but Washington Stanford, I understand Washington's a big favorite. Washington is number 18. They're 3-0. This is the kind of game that if you tune in late night, look, let's be like the Joker. We just want to watch everything burn. Come on, Stanford. Do I care about Stanford? No. I do care about the Pac-12 burning. Please let them upset Washington so they're not undefeated anymore.
Amen, I agree. On to the NFL. Jeremy, every week, here's the thing. College football has up weeks, they have down weeks. There can be chaos. There's lots of upsets. The Sun Belt did it a couple weeks ago. In the NFL, every week is an on week. Every week is an on week. Every week is an on week. This week is no different. You get the Steelers and Browns. Trubisky versus Jacoby Brissett. The battle of inept quarterbacks. Even though Brissett wasn't that bad last week, to be honest. They should have won. It was not his fault. Guess who's favored in that game?
I'm looking right at it, but go ahead and say it.
The Browns favored by 3.5, 4.5 on the latest odds, actually, because it's the Steelers in Cleveland. Who do you got?
In this game, I'm going Steelers. They got to make a change, Brandon. Look. If you're going to do what they're doing at quarterback, you might as well let Kenny Pickett take over.
You let Kenny Pickett go get beat up behind that offensive line.
Yes, I think he'll make more plays. I think he's I'm letting him go.
Let him get David Carr.
I'm letting him go, man. I'm letting him play. That's me.
You got the Chiefs at the Colts.
Yeah, that's I'm gonna say, dude, Matt Ryan is done. D-O-N-E. Matt Ryan is done for the Colts. This isn't going to be a game. Now, granted, here's the thing. The NFL, it's funny because any team can get up at any time because they're all NFL players. I just don't see the Chiefs having a problem with the Colts. I don't. Matt Ryan is done.
Yep, I agree. Then you have Ravens at Patriots. Ravens coming off a terrible loss. Patriots coming off a close win. You got the Patriots getting 3 points. What do you have up in Foxborough?
Oh, you definitely got to go to Ravens. Ravens are putting up all kinds of points. People want to talk about Lamar Jackson, how he can't throw the ball. Did you watch last game?
Yeah, he balled.
Watched it. I watched it because a hater of ours can't stand Lamar Jackson.
No, he doesn't hate us. He does not hate us.
He hates Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Talks about all he could do is run. He's a running back. Dude balled out. I mean, when I talk about throwing strikes, dude threw strikes. The Patriots do not have enough offense to stop Lamar Jackson. Now, I believe Bill Belichick can come up with a defense to kind of hold him down. But here's the thing. When you have a running quarterback, busted plays are where it's at. When the quarterback decides to just break out. So I expect the Ravens to be able to win somewhere around 24-10.
All right. Panthers at Saints.
Are you saving something for the end?
No.
Hold up. Panthers, Saints. That's 1 o'clock again. Do you have any other 1 o'clock games you're going to mention? Because I feel like you missed the elephant in the room, Brandon.
I'm just going down the list.
All right. Panthers, Saints. I was really hoping that Jameis Winston would like show that he could. Here's the thing. Jameis Winston on the short balls is throwing them accurate. I watched him last game miss like four deep throws. And to a lot of people, it may not have been that big a deal. Look, his dudes were open. It had changed the whole game. He couldn't hit the deep throws. I'm done holding out for Jameis Winston. By the way, dude's a weirdo anyway. Every time you hear him talk, yeah. Dude is a straight up weirdo. I'm sorry. Yep. He just really is. And you know what? I'm done holding out for him. Baker Mayfield. All right. I don't care who wins that, but those are my 2 cents about the game.
I got Carolina in that. Carolina. It's in Carolina. I got Carolina. Chicago and Houston. This, by the way, is an ugly game. That is a game that you would have to pay.
Are you talking about all? You're going down all the games?
Oh, yeah. I was just going down all the games.
No, you ain't got to talk about all the games. If you want to talk about that, all right, Justin Fields is a lot better than what people are talking about. I'm sick of everybody talking about everybody else except for Justin Fields. I know you said he was on a bad team, but I look at they're talking about Jacksonville's quarterback. What's his name? Trevor Lawrence being number one overall. I watched Justin Fields outduel him in college, and nobody ever mentions that. They act like, oh, these guys are so separated by so much when it comes to talent. No, they're not. Justin Fields is playing ball. I'm not telling you he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I'm saying start put some respect on his name because you don't ever mention him when you're talking about guys who have potential. The Texans are a hot mess. So I don't know if the Bears will win it, but their defense is solid enough. They're not elite, but they're solid enough. Let Justin Fields have the ball. Let him run the ball a little bit. The running game plus the X factor of the quarterback being able to move. Second of all, he is accurate. Look, give me the Bears.
The game I think you were alluding to earlier, the Dolphins versus the Bills.
How is that not the first game you started with? Oh my goodness. This couldn't be any bigger. First of all, to all you Tua haters, and by the way, I wasn't big on Tua either, and I didn't think he was the best. It irritates my soul how there's some quarterbacks, you'll give them credit and give them time. Tua, in his second year, you guys are talking about, oh, let's get a new quarterback. Oh, Tua can't do it. Tua is balling. Now you can say, oh, it's all his receivers. There's so many other quarterbacks who have great receivers and all offensive coordinators. Stop it. Tua threw 6 touchdowns and all kinds of yards. Dude said he,
Jeremy, did you see him reading a defense or threading needles?
Yeah, I see him throwing nice passes, Brandon.
I saw him throw a good pass to Jalen Waddle in the end zone. Besides and, that, I just don't throw in a wide open
Tyreek. Tyreek Hill said he's the most accurate quarterback, and he's backing it up. Six touchdowns, come from behind, 21 points in the fourth quarter. Let some other type of quarterback do this. Brandon, they'd have been singing his praises from here till no, to wherever you want.
Everybody is singing to his praises now. Everybody is singing to his praises.
Nah, I've heard plenty of people say, oh, it was a nice game, but just hold out on him. What? I'm not saying Tua's the juice. I'm saying
it sounds like you're saying he's the juice.
I'm saying give him an opportunity. Give him an opportunity you're giving other people. Now he has the weapons and he's producing and he's showing. Let him do it. Why are you cutting him off after a year and a half? You didn't do it to Kirk Cousins. You didn't do it to Carson Wentz.
I think they are doing it. Carson Wentz.
I'm talking about when they were younger. All them people got the bag. All them younger dudes, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins. Who's the other one?
Kirk Cousins got franchise tagged. He did not get the bag. I mean, he got paid.
There's all kinds of people who got paid. Anyway, that game's going to be amazing. The Bills look like they're mad at everybody. Like somebody's talking to Obama the wrong way. The Bills are punishing everyone.
And yet they're only 5.5-point favorites.
The problem is everyone is not your bully. Your bully resides in Missouri, okay?
100%. Any other games you want to talk about?
Other than that, shout out to Jalen Hurts. Once again,
shout out to Jalen Hurts. I hated on Jalen Hurts. I did not think he was going to be able to do it.
I love Jalen Hurts, and I just didn't think he was very good. But go ahead.
No, I'm the same way. I did not think he was very good. I don't see any way Tampa keeps up with Green Bay with all the injuries and with the suspension of Mike Evans.
The Rams-Cardinals, a big game, divisional game. Mighty Mouse just brought his team back last week.
I heard.
Kyler Murray.
You hear how they say Kyler Murray runs?
What?
He runs like a toddler who's just stole something from his mom's purse.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Hilarious.
It's a big one against the Rams. It's a divisional game. We'll see if the Rams lost too much because I mean, after the year, whether they actually do need OBJ, we'll see. The Cardinals saved their year and their win with that. I also want to talk about Justin Herbert against Jacksonville. Jacksonville looked really good last week. Now, granted, Jacksonville played, who was it? Was it the Colts? Embarrassed them. Yeah. Made them look stupid. But that's what I was hearing all offseason, that Jacksonville had something. I kept hearing from everybody that, hey, look out for Jacksonville. Jacksonville actually looked good last game. Jacksonville versus the Chargers. Should be fun, but the biggest game, I think, of all is Monday night. Make or break for the Cowboys. Cowboys versus Giants in the Meadowlands. Don't you mean,
what's the name of the stadium now?
But they play in the Meadowlands.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, it's not called the Meadowlands. That's the location, Meadowlands.
Oh, okay.
Now, granted, the Giants beat the Titans. And Carolina, who don't look very good. The Cowboys came up with a win. But it's big in this conference, especially when trying to keep up with the Eagles. So, man, the NFL is fun. The NFL is fun, period.
So much fun. I love it every week. It's my favorite because I don't have a dog in the fight. I just enjoy good football every single week. But that's it. That's what we got. The RVK. Bringing it to you from around the NFL, from around college football, and of course for your Mountaineers. Holler at your boys. Like, listen, subscribe, rate, and review. Please, we will appreciate it. Love us like we love you.
Podcast Network.